Tonight, I actually had thought I was gonna I actually thought this morning I might not get through with that message this morning. We might carry that over to tonight, but it didn't, man. I got it all out. I was speed preaching this morning. So we're gonna get back to our series that we've been on about about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit working in our church. Just a quick recap. If y'all will listen quick, I'm going to real quick recap kind of the last few times that we talked. I know it's basically we had Mother's Day and no Sunday night service, and there's been a few gaps in it. So I'm just going to quickly bring you back up to where we are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the move and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our churches, and how we don't want to become a church that is Pentecostal in name only. We don't want to become a church that's or a people that's Pentecostal in name only. We want to see the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated in us, among us, and through us. Amen? Is your heart there? So we talked about the difference the Holy Spirit makes, how He endues us with power, how He manifests Himself through us. He's a shining forth and makes us like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. He gives us boldness. The Holy Spirit brings unity and breaks down barriers. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. We talked about how they are for everyone. And when the Holy Spirit comes, a prayer language, a powerful prayer language where we can pray the perfect will of God, a prayer language that edifies God and it builds up your most holy faith. We talked about how the gifts are for everyone and the difference that the Holy Spirit made. You remember we talked about one example was Smith Wigglesworth, how he was a tongue-tied plumber, that he had a desire to preach and minister the Word of God, but he was so lacking in his speaking abilities that his wife had to do the preaching for him. I mean, I know a lot of times, man, if you don't know this, your wife would always love to do the talking for you. I would stay out of trouble a lot more if I let my wife always do the talking for me. But anyway, but after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, he received an anointing to preach the gospel with power and began to see many signs and wonders in his ministry. Deaf ears open, blind eyes open, creative formation of limbs growing, tumors disappearing, demons cast out, mental health restored, and over 20 people raised from the dead through his ministry. When Jesus said, "These signs that I do, you will do, and even greater things you will do." Man, I'm talking about, he tapped into that. And he was on the path to seeing that happen. And we need to have that same vision for our ministry, for this church's ministry, for your ministry. We need to have that same vision for us today. God hasn't changed his mind about that. He still wants to do great things. He still wants to demonstrate his power through us and through the church. Amen? The Holy Spirit enables us to do those things. Jesus said greater things. That was in Matthew 10:7-8. This is the power that's been freely given. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a free gift available to all those who believe. All those who believe. How many believers do we have in the house tonight? Praise God. If you're a believer, then that's available to you. And don't let your vision fall short of those powerful demonstrations of God. Through you, your hands can be the extended hand of Almighty God. Your mouth can be the tongue of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit can move through you and desires to move through you. He just needs people that are willing to be conduits of His grace, of His power, and of His love. Don't be Pentecostal in name only. We must have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because without them, we will never fulfill the destiny that God has on our life, for our life. If we neglect the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if we neglect those, then we do so at our own peril, at our own expense. Ephesians 3:20 said, God is able to do exceedingly above. That was that scripture I just mentioned. And so as a church, we have to make sure, as a church and as individuals, that we don't become Pentecostal in name only. Now, let me just talk real quick, because we use this term a lot, but let me just break down this term. When I say Pentecostal, let me just break down Pentecost real quick in a nutshell. Let's just revisit that and make sure that we're all on the same page and we understand. Because Pentecost used to be, formerly, before the Holy Spirit came, Pentecost was a feast. It was a festival that they celebrated, that the Jews celebrated. It was the end of the wheat harvest. And it was like Thanksgiving. They would come And they would give thanks for God for all their manifold blessings. And then there was the Feast of Weeks. And this is what eventually became known as Pentecost. It was 50 days after the corn harvest or the barley harvest is when it would start. And it became known as Pentecost because it was Pentecost means 50th. And it was a holy day, a day of sacrifices. And it was a ritual and it was a festival for them. But there came a shift when God gave the promised Holy Spirit. Can y'all say, thank God for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit? With that gift of the Holy Spirit, there was a shift in what Pentecost became known as. Pentecost, with Jesus, with the sacrifice of Jesus gave, his death, burial, and resurrection, and then the following gift of the Holy Spirit, things changed. Pentecost became more associated with faith rather than works. How many of y'all thank God that we don't have to keep those rituals, those sacrifices? How many of y'all are thankful for the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made, the perfect Lamb of God? Amen? The sacrifice once and for all of us, for all time. Praise God for that sacrifice. Man, I don't think I can keep up with all those other things they had to do. Man, I don't know, John. Every once in a while, my wife will call me and say, hey, did you pay the electric bill? And I'm like, she'll text me sometimes, did you pay the electric bill? And I'll give it a little bit. I'll go online and pay it real quick, and I'll text her back. Yeah, I paid it. Man, if we still had to do 30 seconds ago, but anyway. So, man, if we still had to do all the sacrifices, I can see now, I can text. Did you sacrifice some doves? Did you do the wheat offering? You know, all that stuff. And I'll be like, oh, give me a minute. But anyway, praise God we don't got to keep up with all that ritualistic stuff. Praise God that we have a sacrifice that lasts forever and that is good for all time. Because, man, I'll tell you what, if I had to make a sacrifice every time I messed up, I would be constantly at the altar. I would just smell like smoke all the time, you know? But thank God, because of the Lamb of God and his sacrifice, every time I mess up, I don't have to go prepare an animal or anything like that. I can just pray to God and his forgiveness and his love and his mercy and his blood is always there, available, ready. And it covers everything that I do. Praise God. So Pentecost is shifted. It's not about all those things and those works that they had to do to stay current. It involves faith. Now, all we have to do is believe and ask and receive the forgiveness, the blessing, the strength, the joy, everything that we have provided through Jesus Christ. Before this, you know, the Holy Spirit would come on people, and it was for, you read in the Bible, there were people that were called to certain things of service. The Holy Spirit would come upon them. Thank God that today the Holy Spirit is available to all believers because of Pentecost. Pentecost was prophesied about in the book of Joel. That's in 2:28, Joel 2:28. Praise God, it came to pass in the book of Acts. It changed things. It marked the birth of the church. Over 3,000 converts were added that day, the day of Pentecost. A church that was built on the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The early church, the new church, the church that we have today, built not on laws and rules and regulations, but built on the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. A church full of the power of the Holy Spirit. A church that was made up of living stones. You know, the Bible says that we are made living stones, the Holy Spirit. And as he comes into our life, he brings a supernatural life into us. And God says that we are living stones. And it's those living stones built together that form the church. We are the church. And we're the church of a living God. And we're a living church, living beings with living spirits, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. Praise God. Pentecost marked the birth of the church as we know it today. Pentecost is a glorious experience for the believer, for individuals. It became a glorious experience for individuals. Power to be holy. God has given us now power to be holy. In an evil, sinful world, we have the power to be holy. You know, the Spirit, and the Bible says in, what verse is that? Oh, I didn't write it down. Oh, it's in Galatians. In Galatians 5:17. It says, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. They are They oppose one another. But praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. Amen? We can overcome. The power of the Holy Spirit. God gives us the power to serve. In Acts 1:8, talks about that. The disciples were weak. They were timid. They were fearful. They hid behind closed doors. But once the Holy Spirit came, and I say, once the Holy Spirit came, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, those timid, fearful, hiding disciples became men that preached the word of God with boldness. And they preached it faithfully. And even when there were threats of death, when they had threats against their life, they still preached the word of God boldly. What a difference. What a difference. They were hunkered down in a room. They were hunkered down hiding, scared to testify and to tell about Jesus. But once the power of the Holy Spirit came on them, it gave them boldness to declare the gospel openly and publicly. Do you want that difference in your life today? We need that difference in our life today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in us so that we can be witnesses and share the gospel with the lost and dying world. They became fearless. God wants us to become fearless. And this is all. We're still talking about Pentecost and what that does. The gift of the Comforter. The Bible says that God sent the promised Holy Spirit, and He called Him the Comforter, our teacher and our helper. In John 16:7, it talks about that. He's our comforter, our teacher, and our helper. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what Pentecost brought. It also brought, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, it brought the impartation of spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:8-11, and we're going to be getting into those in the next little while. It also brought the power to produce the fruit of the Spirit. The power to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And then for individuals, Pentecost marked a glorious new life in the Spirit. So, that's in a nutshell. When I talk about Pentecostal, when I talk about us being Pentecostal, I'm talking about those things. Those real, tangible things that you can live in and experience as a believer. How many of you want to be Pentecostal? Amen? How many of you, does that sound like the life you want to live? How many of you want to demonstrate the power of God? And I tell you what, we need to introduce this world to a God who is real, a God who can move and demonstrate His power. When people need a miracle, they need to run to you, run to the church, because they see the demonstration of God in your life. We need to be we are God's vehicle to share the good news with this world. We share it through our lifestyle, we share it through our experiences, we share it through our testimonies, and we share it through actively praying for and believing and giving God opportunities to move in power. Amen? Amen? That's being Pentecostal. That's being Pentecostal. And we don't want to just be Pentecostal in name only. We don't want to claim to be Pentecostal and have nothing to back it up with. We want the demonstration of God's miraculous works in us and through us. That's our heart. That's our heart. And the vision and the words that have been spoken over this church for this year are all about being a church that moves into that. And we've seen it. I mean, we have miracles happen, praise God, all the time, man. We got great testimonies. We got people in our church that God's healed of cancer. We got miracles of provision. We've got miracles of God setting people free from addiction and things like that. Yeah, they happen. I'm not saying we're void of that thing, but those things need to be prevalent in our church. It don't need to be a rare thing that everybody just said, whoa, it's a once in a lifetime thing. Somebody got healed. It needs to be an everyday occurrence, because we have that power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You got to understand, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power went into the devil's house and whooped up on him. The Bible says He made an open show of the devil. An open show. He didn't just barely get out. Jesus didn't barely escape from the bondages of hell. Jesus made an open show of the devil. He stole the keys of death and hell. And He put Satan under His foot. And that's the place where he ought to be every day of our life. Every morning when we wake up, we need to decide. We need to decide who we are. We need to realize who we are in Christ. We need to decide we're going to walk in the authority of Christ, walk in the victory of Christ, and we need to put the devil under our feet. That shouldn't be a rare occurrence. That needs to be an everyday thing. God's called us to be victorious believers that walk out the Word of God. Amen? Come on, y'all. Y'all excited about this? I'm excited about this. Man, this is the Word. These are the words that have been prophesied and spoken over this church by numerous people that didn't collaborate beforehand. But the same Holy Spirit spoke through many people. I tell you what, God's word for us this year, church, is that we're going to the other side. That we're going to the other side. We're going to make major impact. And God wants to take your life, not just this church, but you are the church. God wants to take your life. And He wants to take you from where you are, and He wants to elevate you to a new level of Him, a new level in Him, a new realm of walking in the supernatural. Amen? Praise God. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Get on the bus. That's all I can say. Get on the bus. We're going there. We're going there. Amen? Don't miss out. Because the bus is going whether you're on it or not. But don't miss out. Everybody say, I want on the bus. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So what we're talking about, we're going through some things. We started last time we spoke. We're going through some things, some reasons, some major reasons why churches are becoming Pentecostal in name only. We're not going to be one of those churches. We're not going to be one of those churches. We're going to walk and see the power of God working in our church. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and Pastor Jerry and Sister Lane, well, that was one thing that really are on their heart for this year, is that we give opportunity. We, first off, just by believing this is what God wants, that we give the Holy Spirit opportunity to work and move, and that we see an operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our services. Every time we get together, it's not just a social meeting, but every time we get together, the Spirit of the Lord is here. You may have a hard time getting entering in at home. You may have a hard time entering in anywhere else you go. If you have a hard time sensing or knowing or getting in the presence of the Lord, just know this. The Bible says when two or three come together in His name, I'm one. Who else is here? Who else is here in the name of Jesus? Who else is here? We got at least three here. And the Bible declares that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Every time we come together, it's a supernatural event. Every time we come together, much power is made available to us. We got to decide if we're going to take advantage of it or not. Every service, and it's sad to say this, but I get every service, there are gifts left along this altar that aren't taken, that aren't open, that aren't received. I don't want to leave anything on the altar. I don't want anything. I want everything that He has in store for me. I want everything that He's provided for me. And I tell you what, sometimes we fail to realize just how nice. Man, He's gift wrapped it for us. It's nice and pretty. All we have to do is see it, get a vision for it, see it and believe it and receive what He has for us. Amen. It sounds simple, but for some reason, that is so challenging sometimes. How many times do we toil and struggle? Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe we don't toil enough. But anyway, but God's got stuff. God's got everything you need. There's nothing that you lack that God hasn't already provided. And we got to learn how to walk in the supernatural. We got to learn how to see in the supernatural. We got to learn that the natural things are temporary and that the supernatural things are permanent. They're eternal. They're more real than what we see. Amen. So number one reason we did it. We started on these before. So I'm just going to read the one we started on. The first one we talked about already, it says we've become talking about the gifts of the Spirit and why we don't have the gifts of the Spirit operating in our church, why churches are becoming Pentecostal in name only. Number one is because we've become satisfied without them. Y'all remember that last time we talked about that? I know it was a powerful message, man. If you weren't here, I hate you missed it. It was real powerful. All right? Okay. Anyway, but no, we've become satisfied without them. God, don't let our appetites become full before we get to where God's taking us. Amen? We talked about that. Number two was that we're substituting complacency for sacrifice. God never called us to be idle. God never called us to sit still. But God called us to be advancing continually in Him. Amen? Mark, a few weeks ago when he was here, he talked about the river, the living water. Living water is always moving. It's not still. It's not stagnant. It's not idle. The minute we become idle, we become stagnant. We become dead. That's the thing about the Dead Sea. If you study it out, you know, the Dead Sea, the reason that it's dead is because it has no outlet. It doesn't move. It doesn't flow. it's stagnant and still. And so the salt content is too high because it's not moving and flowing. So everything dies. Amen? We don't want to be dead. We don't want death. We don't want that stuff. That's what the enemy wants to offer you. The enemy offers you plenty of stuff that's dead. We need to start refusing the enemy and start accepting what God has for us. Amen? So number three, we're going to start off with today, this third one. We're substituting confession for repentance. We're substituting confession for repentance. Confession soothes our conscience, but repentance takes out of us that which makes us rebellious and disobedient. Repentance changes us from the inside out. Repentance isn't about soothing our conscience. Repentance isn't about making us feel better. You realize that, right? Repentance is all about realigning us with God. Repentance is all about changing us, changing our mind, turning around. It means a turning around or a changing of our mind, to turn your mind. Repentance is all about bringing us back into alignment with the way God thinks and the things God desires. Amen? We can confess all day long and never change. You can soothe your mind every time you mess up. You can soothe your mind. But unless you change, you haven't done what God desires for you. Because God wants to bring us in alignment with Him. God wants to make us like Him. He says we are to strive to be like Christ. He is our chief example. He is the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And the cornerstone, if any builders in the house, you know what a cornerstone is. A cornerstone is something that is placed in a building, and everything about that building is brought in alignment with the cornerstone. It's what trues us up. And anything that's not in line with the cornerstone is out of line. And it won't do to simply confess and not desire to change. We need to desire to change. Amen? We need to stop confessing our sins, and we need some true repentance in our heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Amen? Amen. Humble themselves, seek my face, turn from repentance. Repentance brings healing in our heart. Because every one of us are there. Every one of us are messed up. Every one of us have had things in our life that were the enemy had us bound. But every one of us, if we can bring ourselves to true repentance, to turn from those things, to realign ourselves with God and change our mind to agree with what God thinks, then God can bring healing for anything you've ever done. God can heal anything, any damage that the enemy has done. How many of you need some healing today? Repentance. We can't substitute confession for repentance. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Repent and turn. Y'all see the pattern here? It didn't say, confess, tell the Lord about it, and then go on and continue in it. It says, repent and turn. And God will bring times of refreshing. How many of you need some refreshing here this morning? Amen? How many of you have been struggling? You've been fighting. You've been in the middle, in the thick of things, and you just need some refreshing. Well, there's your scripture right there. The Bible says repent, turn from it, and God will bring refreshing into your life. Refreshing from the Lord. Revelations 3:19 says to be zealous and repent. Repent. A turning away. We can't substitute confession for repentance. God's looking for people that will walk in true repentance. Amen? Amen. Number four, things that keep us from being Pentecostal is substituting praise for prayer. And I mentioned this one a few weeks ago. Now this one, I first read it, I thought, well, that don't sound right. You know, it's like, well, I don't like that. But substituting praise for prayer. And in the book, and by the way, these are Pastor gave me a book to start reading on this. It's called The Master Mentor, if you're interested in it. But these nine things are in and out of that book. But substituting praise for prayer. Now, there's a time for praise. Praise is very important. I'm sure Jerry and Leah, our praise leaders, can come up here and they can give you a whole 3-month series on praise. Praise is important. Praise is good. But there's a time and a place for everything. And I'm going to read the scripture right now. It's in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. I'm just going to go ahead and read the all those eight verses. You all know this verse. Some of you know this verse because it's a song. All right? You'll recognize the song. It's Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. It says, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. This verse gets quoted with me a lot of times. A time to keep silent, a time to speak. Usually when my wife or something brings that verse up, it sounds a little bit like this. It sounds a little bit like this. She says, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. You know? She's stressing the silent part. Anyway, but I'm learning. Praise God. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. There's a time for everything. And praise is good. Praise is necessary. Praise paves the way a lot of times for victory. Amen. In the Bible, when they were going to war, they sent Judah first. Judah means praise. Praise goes forth first. Praise wins a lot of battles. But there's a time for celebration and praise, but there's also a time for travail. Amen. There's a time for travail. And what they said here in this book is talking about we substitute prayer for praise. Is saying that we're all about celebration. Celebrating is easy. We like to praise. Does everybody here likes to praise, don't you? Man, it's fun praising. Man, the Spirit of God comes. God inhabits the praises of the people. It's good. It's good. But if we're always celebrating, then there's no travail and no warfare going on in your life. We have to realize that there's a time for praise, but there's also a time for travail. If you're going to birth anything new, and we talked about this a little while ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But how many mothers in the house can testify that when the greatest bundles of joy came into your life, it was preceded by a time of labor and travail and much pain? Now, when we had our two kids, my wife had them all natural, and I didn't think it hurt all that bad. You know, it wasn't, to me, I was like, ah, big deal, man. But she felt like it was a lot of pain for her. I know all the ladies are like, what? And so I'm just kidding, ladies, okay? Put down your sticks and stones. All right. So, but it's the same way in the Spirit. The Bible talks about this. The Bible relates childbirth to things being birthed in the Spirit. If you're ever going to birth something new in the Spirit, there will be a time of travail. There will be a time of agonizing in the Spirit, bringing forth the things of the Spirit. Amen? God wants to birth some things in us. God wants to birth some ministries. God wants to birth some miracles. God wants to birth a lot of things through us. But if we're always celebrating and never in travail, then it's going to be hard for Him to do that. That's just part of it. We have to spend time on our knees. God is calling the church back to her knees. Don't lay aside praise, but make time for prayer and make time for travail. Make time for those deep moments in God where you're yearning. The Bible says when you're yearnings and groanings in the Spirit. I don't usually associate groanings with celebration. Do y'all? I mean, I don't think that's the point there. Groanings in the Spirit, when God's working deep in you, birthing something. But I'm going to tell you what, those times of travail, those times on your knees and just deep intercession and warfare, I'll tell you what, those times will bring the most abundant, joyful times in your life. Those times will produce a lot more times of celebration and praise than you'll ever have without them. We've got to stop substituting praise for prayer. God needs us on His knees. God's got some things to birth, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. When a woman is about to have a baby, and she says, "It's time! It's time! Get the bags! Get to the car!" She knows there's pain coming. She's already in pain. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it's a travail and a labor that's going to bring forth joy. It's going to bring forth the most amazing miracle that God has. Man, those little miniature babies that are fully functional. Man, I mean, it's so, every time I look at it, every time we go to the hospital and visit somebody who's had a newborn, you know, I'm just amazed at the miraculous thing that God's done. How does that happen? Only God can design something that wonderful. But man, this miniature little person that has a heart that beats, lungs that breathe, feet and fingers that move, and they may be in slow motion at first. I get a kick out of watching my nephew Samuel. Yeah, everything. It's like when they're little miniature like that, everything's in slow motion. He's like yawning and licking his lip. And everything is in slow motion, you know. Okay, Jerry, I'm sorry. I was making fun of him earlier. But, you know, it's just funny, you know. They're just all, you know. But everything is working and moving. It's just a miracle, man. It's just a miracle. But God can do those amazing things like that in the spirit, too. Well, man, there are some things inside of some of you. There are some things inside of some of you that once you go through what it takes to birth those things, you are going to be amazed. And it's going to be something that you have to stand back and say, I couldn't do this myself. I couldn't do this myself. This is of the Spirit. This is something of God. God birthed this. God made this alive. God made this happen. This is from God. And every bit of travail and labor that you spend on your knees will be worth it. Amen. It'll be worth it. And that thing's going to change lives. That thing's going to change your life. And it may be something that God's birthing to change a lot of lives. Amen? Don't sacrifice or don't substitute praise for prayer. There's a time for everything. Number five. Was that number four? I think that was number four. Yeah. Number five. We are substituting pious prepare. Let me get this right. This is a tongue full. This is one of them tongue twisters. We are substituting pious propriety for the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit. Too many times we're worried about what other people will think. Will they understand it? I don't know if they believe what I believe. You know, I don't know. They're going to think this is weird. We're worrying about them not understanding and worry about offending people more than we are worrying about the gifts of the Holy Spirit being in operation. Pious propriety substituted for the workings of the Holy Spirit, for the supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, let me just go ahead and remind you, they weren't worried about what people thought. When the Holy Spirit came and the Holy Spirit began moving, they didn't care what people thought. They didn't care that there was thousands of people outside that upper room that thought they were crazy. They even accused them of being drunk. You know, the Bible says some thought they were drunk, but it was only midday, so they weren't drunk. Anyway, but people thought they were crazy. They weren't worried about what people thought. They were engrossed in what the Holy Spirit was doing. And I tell you, we've got to get to a point where we don't fear man. We don't care what people think. When God wants to move, we move. When God wants to do a work, that we are open to Him. And we're not worried about offending or driving people away or people thinking we're weird. Hey, we're already weird. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. People already think you're weird. Just because you come to this church, that's it. You're labeled. You're weird already. Just go ahead and get used to it and dive on in. Don't worry about who it might offend or what they might think. We should never trade that off for the work of the Holy Spirit. We should never cut short the work of the Holy Spirit. That day, the day of Pentecost, they weren't worried about that. People didn't understand. People thought they were drunk or crazy. But you remember what happened? 3,000 people, over 3,000 people came into the kingdom that day. It gave them an opportunity to declare the good news of Jesus Christ. And people responded because the Holy Spirit drew them in. Are we more wise than the Holy Spirit today? Are we more wise than the Holy Spirit? Would we dare cut off the moving of the Holy Spirit because we're worried about the outcome? The Holy Spirit is the one that draws all men to the Father. That's His job. His job is to draw all men. If anybody is concerned about offending or driving people away, it's the Holy Spirit. And are we more wise than the Holy Spirit that we would cut off what He's doing, the one who draws, the one who's in charge of that, because we think it's offensive? God help us if we do. God forgive us if we have. He's the one that draws. He knows what He's doing. We just need to get on the board, get on the bus. I keep talking about getting on the bus, don't I? That's the theme tonight. I should just name this sermon, Get on the Bus. Anyway, but we need to get on board with what the Holy Spirit's doing and trust Him with the results. Amen? Amen. If people think we're weird, they think we're weird. But don't let us be the reason the Holy Spirit couldn't move. I don't want to be the reason. I don't want to be the holdup. I don't want to be the weak link in the chain that will keep God from moving like He wants to move. We got to not worry about, not fear people, not substitute propriety for a move of the Holy Spirit. And we just need to get on board and flow with the Spirit. Let Him take care of the rest. He'll sort it all out. If somebody's offended, He knows how to go after them and get them back in. Amen? Let's not substitute propriety for supernatural ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number six is that we substitute the sensational for the supernatural. And let me explain this one a little bit, because I had a hard time at first really getting a hold of what it was. But don't substitute the sensational for the supernatural. Don't substitute glitter for gold. Now, how many of you know glitter is shiny? Glitter is really shiny, isn't it? Fool's gold is real shiny and looks prettier than gold a lot of times. Now, I got some kids. Just happened tonight when I came in the foyer. There were some kids in here that had some pieces of fool's gold. Kids, y'all come up here. Y'all got those fool's gold? Come on up. Let's see that fool's gold. Come on up. Let's see. You got some fool's gold here. Man, this is shiny. It is shiny and it looks valuable. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? And boys, I hate to tell you this, but it's worthless. I just dashed their hopes. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. Y'all are thinking, I can't believe he just did that. They're the ones that told me it was fool's gold. So anyway, because I thought it was shiny, it was valuable. Man, I was like, what is that? You know, a nugget. You done found a nugget. But it's shiny. It's shiny, but it has little value. It's valuable. It does have some value, guys. I don't mean it's not valuable. It does have some value. Just not much. Okay? No, just not much. Okay. All right. Thank y'all. Fool's gold. So don't substitute glitter for gold. Don't substitute the pretty for the powerful. Now, I'm all about having a wonderful experience for people when they come into our services. We have on Sunday mornings, we have 10:30 usually to about noon. We have an hour and a half to impact as many people as we can in as many ways as we can. And I'm all about having a good service put together that will minister in as many ways as we can. But when our focus becomes on the production and not the impact, production and not the power, the glitter instead of the gold, then we've gone amiss. Because you can never do with sensationalism what God can do in the supernatural. You can never do with the glitter what God wants to do with the gold, because every move of the Holy Spirit, everything done in the power of the Holy Spirit is valuable like gold. Every service that we come into, where we come together, we have an opportunity to find nuggets of gold that will bless us, that will add value to us, that will encourage us, that will free us, that will boost us on in our Christian walk. God has valuable things available for us, but we can't come to a place where we substitute the glitter for the gold. Who cares if it looks pretty? Who cares if everything flows seamless without a hitch from start to finish? If we are more concerned about the production than we are about the move of the Holy Spirit, then that will stop the gifts of the Spirit from operating among us. Man, so we're an imperfect church made up of imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God. And things may not always be sensational and seamless around here, but our hearts, we have to make sure our hearts are after God. And that we're seeking a move of the Holy Spirit more than we are a flashy service. Who cares if you like the singer? Who cares if you like the preacher? If you're here, we talked about this last time, but if you're here and you're hungry and you want to move of the Holy Spirit, God responds to your faith. God responds to your hunger. And if you come in here wanting more of Him, you're going to leave here with more of Him. So don't blame your bad experience tonight on me. If you don't get something, it's because you weren't hungry. This is the second time I've preached this, isn't it? Recently? There must be somebody here that don't like me. You just need to hear it. No, I'm convinced. I'm trying to be like Brother Jerry. I'm just convinced that everybody likes me. Even if you don't, it's all right. Just don't tell me otherwise, or I'll be happy. So anyway, but if we come in here hungry, we just get what I'm saying here. We can't substitute the sensational for the supernatural. That's like substituting glitter for gold. Man, if you want glitter, we can give you all the glitter you want, and you can go home shiny. You can feel shiny. You can feel pretty. You can feel flashy, but it will add nothing to you. It'll add nothing to your value. It'll add nothing to your Christian walk. And it'll add nothing to your eternity. Don't substitute the glitter for gold. We're going to stop right there. It's time. But I believe, man, I'll tell you, we're working through these. I'm going through them as fast as I can. And so y'all just take notes and put it all together. But I believe here's what we're working towards. We're working towards being a church that flows in the gifts of the Spirit and that sees God move every time we come together. We want to be a church that knows we serve a God who has all power, all knowledge. The Bible says He is omnipotent. He has all power. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge. And He's always present. He's omnipresent. He's always everywhere. You will never be somewhere where you don't have the full access to the power of God, the wisdom of God, the discernment of God, and the direction of God in your life. But we got to be a church that learns how to walk in the Spirit and not in the natural. And see the value and see the things that God has laid in store for us and believe that we have access to them. Amen? That's where we're going. And we're going to become a church. We're going to become families that see God's supernatural power at work in us. How many of you guys just have that desire for your family? To be a family that does the will of God for your family. To lead your family into a new way of life. To lead your family into a new dimension of joy, a new dimension of freedom, and a new dimension of faith where you're not worrying and doubting all the time. That you can trust God with your kids. That you can trust God with your finances. That you can trust God with everything about you. And know that He's got you. That's where we're going. That's where we're going. We serve a God who says, I can do all things. We serve a God of the impossible. And this year, I believe that's where God's taking us, to a place where we can believe God for anything and everything that comes up. And we can take authority over anything and everything the devil brings against us. Amen? That's where we're going. Let's stand to our feet. I'm gonna pray and dismiss, but if you need prayer for anything, whether it's health or finances or need wisdom on something, or whatever you need, if you need prayer for anything, I want you to come to the altar. We're going to pray for you. But I'm going to dismiss in prayer. If you want prayer, come to the front. If not, you're dismissed. Father God, I just come to you tonight. Lord God, I just believe, God, that you have so much in store for us. Lord, I believe that you have supernatural gifts, supernatural miracles. Lord, you have a life. You have a life, God. You have life for us, for our families, God. You desire to bring your supernatural life into our families, into our jobs, into our finances, into our health. God, you desire to do so much, Lord God. Help us to be a church, Lord God, that doesn't hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, but God will see your power demonstrated among us on a regular basis. God, we know you're a God that loves us. You're a personal God. You always want the best from us. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you, God. And we want to believe you and see you work in our midst. And Lord, we want your power to be a testimony and a light to a lost and dying world. God, draw people in here to meet a God who is living and able and wanting to change our lives for the better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.